Good morning and welcome to Plugged Into Long Island on 102.3 WBAB and 106.1 BLI. I'm Al Levine.
I'm here with Dr. Herschel Khurana, Medical Director of WellBridge. Dr. Khurana oversees WellBridge's medical and clinical program, leveraging research to continually evolve new treatment approaches. He holds a teaching position as Assistant Professor of Psychiatry at the Zucker School of Medicine. Prior to joining the WellBridge team, Dr. Khurana was Director of Addiction Services at Staten Island University Hospital and a leading member of the Opioid Management Steering Committee of Northwell Health. Dr. Khurana's intense dedication to the field of psychiatry and addiction is apparent through his educational and fellowship experience. He holds an MD in allopathic medicine from University of Texas Southwestern, where he also completed a residency in general psychiatry and a fellowship in brain imaging with emphasis on learning and memory and schizophrenia. He further specializes his patient care expertise with a fellowship in addiction psychiatry at New York University.
Good morning. Quite the introduction. I'm doing
yes,
well.
It is.
And thanks for having me.
Quite the number of credentials. Oh, our pleasure. Now, the CEO, Andrew Drazin, was unable to join today. You want to tell me a little bit about Andrew?
Absolutely. So Andrew originally is from Long Island, and after a successful business career, revisited some of the challenges from his childhood and recognized that the treatment of addiction still remains in a very dark and shadowy place in our country. In a very, very ambitious way, over the last decade, he kind of took it upon himself to reimagine what a contemporary, modern, science-driven healthcare organization focused on addiction could look like. And through his really remarkable resilience, he brought forth a partnership with Engel Berman, which is a large real estate development group in Long Island, as well as Northwell Health, to bring WellBridge to a reality. We started construction on the campus itself about 2 years ago, and we're excited to open our doors in mid-May of this year.
Fantastic. So why is WellBridge's early opening during COVID-19 so important?
You know, I think there I would certainly take the lead of the leader of Northwell Health's health system, Michael Dowling, in highlighting that now more than ever, folks need hope. And to be able to open our facility to offer services for those struggling with substance use disorders, which is the medical term for addiction, is just such a critical need right now. And throughout Long Island, historically, the availability of services has been limited. I think there are many, many mission-driven clinicians throughout Long Island, but to build a center that brings together cutting-edge science as well as compassionate care all under one roof, in many ways, is unprecedented in the arena of addiction care.
Now, WellBridge originally was supposed to open on a later date. So why was it moved up?
We were observing that really across New York City, much of Long Island, that hospital-based inpatient addiction services were starting to repurpose to be able to serve the needs of those acutely serving with COVID-19. A very understandable transition in the midst of such a profound demand on hospital-based services, but it created a void that we felt we were especially well-positioned to be able to fill. And, you know, I will humbly say it has taken a tremendous amount of courage from all of our staff to welcome the challenges of treating those that have been impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. The themes of isolation, financial insecurity, and just the potential physical and mental health challenges of struggling with such a dire set of circumstances certainly can make folks much more vulnerable for developing substance issues.
Sure.
And those that perhaps were already struggling to intensify those issues. So, in some ways, we're more necessary now than we had ever imagined.
That's understandable. So WellBridge is the brand new facility on the East End. Why is it so important to Long Island and to the East End in particular?
So Suffolk County in particular has had somewhat the infamous position of being one of the counties with the highest opioid overdose rate, death rates over the last several years. And that's looking across the entire state of New York. And the reasons for that are certainly complex, but one of the primary reasons is the limited availability of evidence-based treatments to specifically deal with opioid-related issues, but broadly, to have comprehensive services for addiction care. Uh-huh. And so the Calverton location certainly is intended to serve the needs of Suffolk and Nassau County, but through the catchment of Northwell Health, our primary partner, we now hopefully can be a resource for tens, if not more, millions of New Yorkers, and certainly throughout the tri-state area.
Now, obviously, we're going through our phases now, phase two this week on Long Island. What protocols do you have in place during all this in the hospital?
We have been very fortunate to be able to leverage the expertise and resources of one of the largest health systems in the country. And that's generated a number of very specific protocols that utilizes laboratory testing to ensure that we have a clear sense if someone is actively positive for COVID-19 and to take proper actions to isolate and ensure their safety as well as the safety of other patients in our under our care and certainly the staff that are involved. In addition, we are now, along with everyone else in New York and certainly the rest of the country, becoming adjusted to new norms. We're requiring all visitors, all patients, all staff to wear masks at all times. We have strict hand washing policies, social distancing infrastructure throughout the campus. And that's one of the real advantages for us that we have a 96-acre campus and are just steadily now starting to bring more and more patients in. So there's a lot of privacy and certainly safety that comes along with that.
Terrific. Yeah, it looks tremendous. I've seen pictures online of the new campus. Has anything changed? Has anything changed since the original groundbreaking plans? That now that goes back how many years did you say?
So the original idea came to Andrew almost 10 years ago.
Wow.
And at that point, he had pursued his partnership with Engel Berman. And the principals there, Jan Berman and Steven Krieger, were incredibly visionary in trying to bring an entrepreneurial spirit to providing a very high quality of healthcare. So from that kind of original seed, if you will, there were a number of steps in bringing forward a campus of this size to New York. There's a number of regulatory steps to be able to deliver the kind of care, the inpatient and residential services that we offer that involved entities such as the Department of Health, the Office of Addiction Services called OASIS, which is a government office. And then that also really took much more momentum as Northwell Health identified this as a space that they really want to dedicate resources and support the health system's capacity to treat addiction. So that took time.
Yeah.
I think Andrew had certainly hoped the timeline would have been much faster, but with each kind of passing day to year, I think his resolve only became more and more galvanized.
Yeah, you want to get those things right, of course. Will there be any differences between treatment now at opening during COVID-19 versus normally? I would imagine so.
You know, one of the really central themes in the context of addiction care is the ability to bring people together, to gather. One of the traditions of addiction treatment that has benefited millions around the world is the framework of 12-step, such as AA or NA groups. And an essential ingredient of that is being able to bring folks together and not having the constraints of social distancing or mask to be able to more naturally interact, I think is a big part of it. And so in the face of that, we are certainly having to adjust. Concretely, that looks like limiting the number of folks that can participate in a given group. It can also look like delivering care through virtual platforms, being able to engage patients through telemedicine or telepsychiatry is certainly a big advantage, but in some ways it's something that has yet to fully adapt in addiction care. So that may be in a way a silver lining of the pandemic, that tools that help engagement are now becoming much, much more readily available. So we hope to see that. And then in time, really hope to be able to utilize our campus in all the ways that we had envisioned.
What was the inspiration for WellBridge to begin, and how has the development process been?
So this, I think, really is a story that's best told by Andrew himself. I will briefly paraphrase to say that his mother had struggled immensely with substance-related issues and passed away at a very early point in Andrew's life. And from that experience, he was really left with the impression that addiction is something that is not talked about, is something that is often mired in shame or embarrassment, and many issues that perhaps could have better outcomes are left unchecked and can end in catastrophic ones. And I think despite the successes in other domains of his life, those impressions were indelible. And upon kind of moving away from his business interest, this became something that was really a true kind of bona fide passion project that, again, I think was essential to have that kind of mission to carry forward what he has over the last several years.
Yeah, that's great. We're speaking about the brand new facility in Calverton, WellBridge. So what's the role relationship of Northwell Health in the partnership with WellBridge?
Well, it's complex. For starters, as you had described earlier, my background is that I am faculty at the Zucker School of Medicine at Hofstra Northwell. I also am still very much involved in education and prevention activities throughout the health system. And so at one level, the partnership has allowed for expertise and the experience of practitioners throughout the health system to come in and contribute and continue to collaborate. Separately, Northwell has its own research division known as the Feinstein Institute. We have a central figure by the name of Dr. Morgan Stern, who's the head of addiction services at Northwell, who has spearheaded the development of a variety of science-based frameworks that we're translating to the bedside, that we're fundamentally trying to advance how addiction care is actually delivered. And so Northwell has provided support from the context of know-how to a tremendous amount of infrastructural support, and is now concretely providing a tremendous amount of resources for things such as laboratory testing, COVID protocols. So we're able to leverage the really tremendous resources of the health system for a very focused project here in dealing with addiction care, which is really quite unique throughout the country.
It's a lot to juggle, and I guess they're helping in doing that. So why is it important to bring addiction treatment and research together on a single campus? And how is WellBridge doing this differently than other treatment facilities?
So I think For starters, the deep challenge is that it's really hard to get researchers and clinicians to speak the same language. So by bringing folks together within the same environment, it kind of naturally allows for a process effect, if you will, to take place, where the clinical problems that are being brought to researchers are then being tackled in methodologies or through scientific strategies that clinicians may be peripherally familiar with, but not really know how to apply. And then vice versa, the deeper scientific issues that historically may be taking place in a laboratory, kind of isolated on an academic campus somewhere, are now able to be right across the hall from where patients are achieving or patients are receiving care. So it allows for a lot of natural synergies to take place, which is not new to medicine. If we look at examples from oncology, cardiology, endocrinology, this is a framework that has been very, very successful in accelerating our understanding of complex disease processes. It's been challenging, though, to implement in addiction care. And again, it took a very unique set of circumstances, the partnerships that underlie WellBridge to bring something like this to a reality.
But it is happening.
Absolutely.
Well, congratulations on that. So we're talking about this brand new facility, which is tremendous in size. How many rooms does WellBridge have, and what's the capacity for the number of patients and staff?
So the initial phase of the campus has a capacity for 80 patients. And that phase is really contingent on the amount of staff that we have. And as we grow and continue to expand staff, we have the capacity for up to 120 beds. The ratio of staff to patients is something that we are very, very keenly trying to keep as robust as possible. We have a very interdisciplinary team made up of addiction psychiatrists, such as myself, as well as addiction medicine providers, PAs, NPs, licensed clinical social workers, KSACs, and nurses. And so it really brings, even just from a clinical perspective, such a rich sense of team and perspectives that for any given patient, the ratio is almost like, five staff to one patient, as opposed to the opposite, where generally patients are kind of outnumbering the amount of staff you have. So we by virtue of our design, we're able to really mobilize a really effective team approach to care for each individual in a very holistic way.
That's great. So what's the average length of stay based on the type of treatment? I would guess it probably varies a bit.
Right. Addiction care is often described in the language of levels of care or stages of care. The specific levels that we have coincide with the kind of licensure that the state has given us. We have two inpatient levels of care. One is stabilization and withdrawal management, perhaps more commonly called as a detoxification unit. We also have an inpatient rehabilitation unit. Their lengths of stay are on the order of weeks. And then we have a residential level of care that has the framework to allow for folks to stay for months. And the key element of the residential piece is the framework of reintegration, that individuals are mobilizing coping strategies, skills, vocational training that allows them to meaningfully reintegrate with their community of origin. If that community is not local, that's where strategies such as virtual platforms, the relationships we're cultivating with collaborators throughout Long Island becomes so essential.
So if someone needs to stay longer, what are their alternatives?
The residential facility does have, again, the capacity for several months of stay. If someone were still wanting to extend care beyond that, then really the space in addiction treatment that accommodates that are settings such as sober livings or long-term residential treatment areas. There are certainly a number of those throughout New York State. Unfortunately, one of the challenges in that domain has been really a lack of transparency and lack of oversight of the quality of services and care that's provided within settings such as sober livings. Mm-hmm. The federal government has started to make a concerted effort to create a more standardized expectation of the medical and clinical oversight of long-term settings of that sort. I most often direct folks to SAMHSA.gov. That's the federal government's primary substance abuse treatment entity, as well as NIDA, the primary scientific organization. So that's NIDA, NIDA.gov, which has a tremendous amount of resources. Our website also, wellbridge.org, has a number of those resources available for your listeners.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you what your website is. I want people to take a look at the facility, but it's wellbridge.org, you said?
Correct, okay. .org, yes.
So what's Wellbridge's approach to treatment and therapy?
While we are very committed to being science-driven, effective addiction treatment really hinges on being able to approach individuals with an authenticity and a compassionate mind. So with that, we are trying to deliver a framework that is very patient-centric. That's a term that I think gets used quite liberally these days, but the essence of it is that we're evaluating not only the primary substance issues, but also a number of other antecedent events that can have a significant impact on perpetuating substance behaviors. Very commonly, individuals struggling with addiction have co-occurring mental health disorders, such as depression, PTSD, generalized anxiety, just to name a few. But separately, there's often tremendous toll that's taken place in the fabric of their social lives. We have a very uniquely designed family therapy program that was built in collaboration with specific research scientists to really be able to engage the family, to create a foundation of trust that supports patients engaging in treatment. And then over time, the entire unit, if you will, becomes involved in the treatment process. And we very, very deeply believe for any individual to really meaningfully sustain recovery, the fabric of their lives, their family life, their social life, their work lives, all have to be aligned and integrated in the highest quality of life for that individual.
So you do incorporate family therapy into a patient's treatment. How do you do that?
So for one, within the interdisciplinary framework that we have a designated family therapy program. This consists of licensed marriage and family therapists who bring a very specific set of experiences and skills to be able to navigate often the very nuanced dynamics of a patient and their family's life, and also the family's relationship to their broader community. So we introduce these elements from the moment someone reaches out to us. We have the capacity to start conversations with family members that initially can be, again, very supportive and focused on enhancing the engagement of the individual that's in crisis or that's struggling to pursue care. And as the individual then actually engages in care, we can, in a much more comprehensive way, engage the family in processes such as structured family therapy, which includes the family therapist meeting with the individual and their family together, as well as formats such as multi-family groups, where individual and their family, along with other individuals that are in care and their families, are able to come together, share their experiences, learn from each other, and really process what the experience of addiction means.
We're speaking with Dr. Karane, medical director at Wellbridge, the brand new facility in Calverton. Are there other aspects that, I know we've covered a lot of territory here, doctor, but are there other aspects you want to bring to light here worth noting about the new facility?
Sure. I'd like to first focus on just kind of an internal aspect of ours. And I've emphasized the medical and psychiatric elements as well as the family program, but another really central pillar of our approach focuses on wellness, and that broadly encompasses a domain of creative arts therapies, which are incredibly powerful tools when we encounter challenges in being able to express ourselves in language, as many individuals struggling with addiction often encounter. Having alternate means of expression, alternate means of gaining self-understanding and clarity of one's own experience can be incredibly powerful. So we have a Center for Creative Arts Therapy. And then separately, to emphasize the importance of physical health, we also have a fitness center that encompasses an entire gym, swimming pools, golf simulator. We really tried to leave no stone unturned, and hope that by creating access to these resources while in treatment, it serves as a vehicle to really catalyze the behavioral change that's essential for sustaining recovery long after folks leave Wellbridge.
Wow, it sounds very exciting. Congratulations on all of it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We're all certainly very proud and feel very humbled to have the responsibility to bring such a resource to Long Island and the state of New York.
Take a look at it, wellbridge.org online. I've been speaking with Dr. Karane, medical director of Wellbridge, and you've been plugged into Long Island on 102.3 WBAB and 106.1 BLI.